From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 27th day of April, 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker, Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, the estate tax, the Trump administration, NAFTA, and agricultural infrastructure. We'll talk about those. We'll also discuss the cash grain market with Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, and take a look at a very soggy forecast with Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Thursday afternoon, it is the 27th day of April. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker. He's in Waco, Texas at Zwicker Consulting. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Are you as wet there as we are here?
No.
We aren't yet, but we're going to be.
Well, we're not in no drought, but we are not like you guys. We got actually beautiful weather in central Texas. I'm currently down in South Texas or northern Mexico, whatever you'd prefer to call it. And we had 101 degrees yesterday. So we're already hot down here.
So I have a quick question for you. Yesterday, of course, the Trump administration said, hey, we're going to pull out of NAFTA. We're drafting an executive order, and they really went through a lot of the process. That dropped corn 8 cents yesterday, but it only managed to gain 3 of those cents back today. Why is that the case, do you think?
Well, I think you could probably blame some of yesterday's selling onto, you know, NAFTA concerns, trade war concerns, and I think that still hangs over the market, even though there was no executive order stating that. But I think, you know, I'm optimistic that everything's going to work out. I sit down here in Rio Grande Valley, and I just watch truckloads after truckloads and truckloads of corn going across the Rio Grande Valley. So I don't really have any worries that Mexico's ever going to stop buying corn from us, but they could definitely use that as a threat if we would ever get into some kind of spat. I think Trump's strategy is just to kind of lay the marker down that that he's not going to put up with any kind of violations, and that it's time to sit down and maybe take a look at that trade agreement. It's what, 17 years old or so by now. So, and see where we go from here. So, I think the trade's going to get nervous about that, but, for the most part, corn and soybeans still, continue to, hang over, or the large global supplies, hang over the market. And it's still 3 weeks, probably too early to worry about any crop-reducing type prospects. Usually, or at least it's been my observation, it's around May 20th is when the trade kind of looks around and sizes up how the crop has gone in the ground, where the problems have been, and then what kind of prospects they want to put on it. And if there's a concern at that time that we're losing acres or we've lost yield potential, then the market then has a tendency to rally into that June, July timeframe until a crop is made. If crop is in pretty good condition at that time and there's no fear of any supply shortages, the market just basically continues to kind of track sideways until crop prospects become a little more certain, and that's not going to happen until you know, kind of get into that last week of June, first couple of weeks of July.
I know you like to follow the sunspots a little bit. We talked about that last week. It's a bit of a different kind of look at the marketplace. And you were thinking about cold weather. It's arrived. wheat futures wheat futures have rallied too, I suppose, because kind of the first wave came through. I talked to Al Kleiss this morning trying to schedule him for Commodity Week. Didn't get that done, but I've got somebody else from that area. He had snow on the ground up in Minnesota today when I talked to him.
Oh,
not a little bit. I think he had a lot.
And we're not done with the cold weather either. So weather patterns, I know probably the meteorologists think I'm a real crackpot weather forecaster by looking at sunspots, but and the cool spring, and that's basically what we've had now. Usually low sunspot activity is more associated with below normal precip levels, but that hasn't been the case, at least in the Midwest. But I did hear that there are some weather forecasters now are beginning to call for cooler summer temperatures and more average type precip as we go down the road, but we'll have to wait and see on that. But yeah, I think, you know, 3 weeks from now, usually weather patterns, you kind of have a shift every 3 weeks. So the next cold shot, if we get one, I'm kind of looking for that to kind of be sometime after that May 20th timeframe. And we'll see if we get a real cold one at that point in time, that one might really stir up the market, especially if it's in the upper third of the Midwest. But I know a lot of those areas are kind of late in planting, so it still may not. But I don't think we're done with the cold weather scares yet. I think that's going to stay with us all the way into the fall. It not only low sunspot activity not only increases the chance of late frost, it also increases the chances of early frost. And with some of these areas that's maybe going to get off to a late start, that could become an issue as we go down the road. So for the most part, I think the grain markets are tracking sideways after their decline. And that, I think that's just kind of where we're at until market kind of wants to size up what overall crop prospects really look like, you know, around that May 20th timeframe.
Any interesting technical formations developing that you're watching closely?
Well, one thing that got corn really bearish here last week was there was a little mini head and shoulders bottom formation that a lot of technical people were watching. And then when that right shoulder gave way, that's what brought in a lot of heavy selling into that corn market and blew the stops on that and increased, you know, new selling. I think probably the most interesting thing is I think the fun crowd is very heavily short these markets this early in the season. And I do think that, you know, that increases the chances that there's going to be a blow your shorts type rally somewhere down the road here. Don't know exactly when that's going to happen. Maybe that's going to be more of the May 20th or the end of the May timeframe when we kind of size up what all got planted, where it all got planted, who's in trouble, who's not in trouble, and then begin to make, you know, production adjustments. But demand remains good. You can kind of see what the export sales here were again this morning. They're very good. I think long term, I've said this many times before, the story of 17 is going to be dollar weakness. I think that's going to weaken, and that's going to continue to be beneficial, I think, to ag commodities, especially actually all commodities. But I think that's going to keep us competitive in the world market, even though we do have a lot of competition from South America. And I still think Trump's stance on trade is positive long term. Because he's basically sending signals to our trading partners that we need to narrow that trade deficit. And one way that that trade deficit can be narrowed is that they can buy more agricultural products from the United States. And so I think that is going to be beneficial longer term.
Hey, Dan, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us for the day.
Very well.
And of course, Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, NAFTA is back on for renegotiation. Yesterday, the Trump administration said it was considering an executive order that would pull the United States out of the three-nation trade deal. Late last night, Donald Trump tweeted that he'd received calls from both the President of Mexico and the Prime Minister of Canada asking to renegotiate NAFTA rather than terminate it, and said that, "I agreed, subject to the fact that if we do not reach a fair deal for all, we will then terminate NAFTA." He went on to tweet, "Relationships are good. Deal very possible." While the tactic at this point appears to have worked, bringing both Canada and Mexico to the table, it appears the president may have spent some political capital in rural America with the American Soybean Association, the U.S. Grains Council, the U.S. Wheat Associates, the National Association of Wheat Growers, and the National Corn Growers Association all condemning the potential pullout of NAFTA while it was happening yesterday afternoon. Well, let's stay with Washington and agriculture, but return to the roundtable that happened on Monday afternoon with President Donald Trump. They talked for an hour, and not surprisingly, infrastructure was on the agenda. Most of the items on the list for updates were typical agricultural issues, including rural roads and bridges, port facilities, and the lock and dam system that are all used to move ag products, says Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey.
The other thing that came up was a conversation around the other kind of softer side of infrastructure. That means ag research is a very important investment in infrastructure, as well as broadband and the ability to have access to the internet, be able to move data around from our farm fields or livestock operations is going to be critical as well. So all those areas were mentioned as we discussed infrastructure.
Northey was part of a 14-member farmer roundtable that met with the president and the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture. One more Trump story related to agriculture. The agriculture industry would get one of the tax changes it has most often requested. The end of the estate tax under the new Trump administration's tax reform plan released yesterday. The threat of being hit by an estate tax leaves small business owners and farmers in this country to waste countless hours and resources on complicated estate planning to make sure their children aren't hit with a huge tax when they die, says National Economic Council Director Gary Cohn, the president's top economic advisor. However, USDA estimates that less than 1% of U.S. farms in any given year will pay the 40% levy, which hits estates valued at $5.45 million or more, double that for couples. But many farmer and rancher groups, including the NCBA, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, have long supported eliminating the tax. And finally today, we'll stay in the finance area. For further proof of the weak state of the farm economy, check out the latest blog from David Widmar, an agricultural economist at Purdue. Farmers in Kansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, and other Midwestern states are having a harder time, he says, paying back their loans. This according to a study by Widmar using data provided by the Kansas City Federal Reserve Bank. As many as 1.78% of all real estate farm loans and 1.4% of all non-real estate farm loans were delinquent in the fourth quarter of 2016 in the Kansas City Bank's region, which also includes Colorado, Wyoming, and portions of western Missouri and northern New Mexico. Those numbers are up from the fourth quarter of 2014, when 1.25% of all real estate farm loans and just 0.72% of all non-real estate farm loans were in trouble. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Well, let's get one view now of the Trump administration's new tax plan. The president, of course, is calling for a big cut in the corporate tax rate from 35% down to 15%. But American Farm Bureau Federation tax advisor Pat Wolf says the plan needs to be more comprehensive since most farmers file as individuals.
The majority of farmers pay taxes as sole proprietors. They pay under the individual code, not the business code. So it's important to clarify whether or not that really will apply to all sizes of business or just businesses by their organization type.
Wolf recently urged congressional tax writers to be careful how they structure the first major tax overhaul. Since 1986, she said producers must have access to a menu of tax brackets to deal with the cyclical and unpredictable nature of agriculture. Wolf says the president's plan is still unclear on what deductions he wants to leave in place.
There was no mention about business deductions, like the deduction for business expenses, like whether or not farmers would be able to use like-kind expensing or cash accounting. Those details are yet to be determined.
Even with lower individual and corporate tax rates, Wolf argues that producers could still end up with a bigger tax bill if they don't have enough offsetting deductions. Meantime, one tax proposal was very clear.
The presidential announcement called for the complete and immediate elimination of the state taxes. We need to make sure that that means elimination of taxes at death and that there's no change in the stepped-up basis, which would create a capital gains tax at death.
The American Farm Bureau Federation wants same-year expensing of equipment cost, cash accounting, lower capital gains tax, all of which the president did propose. Farm Bureau also would like to continue the use of like-kind exchanges to defer taxes on assets being replaced and, like the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, an end to the estate tax. Let's check the cash grain markets now and what's been happening with Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Tell me about conditions where you are. Did you get your corn and some of your soybeans planted, and how much rainfall did you get?
Yeah, we got done with our corn planting. We started some beans before we got done with corn, of course. And then, we planted all of our beans other than river bottoms. We were a little bit worried about all the weather coming in, but we were able to get them done earlier in the week, so we felt like hopefully they'd get a good enough start that pound and rain wasn't going to kill them all trying to get out of the ground. So we feel like we're in pretty good shape as long as we don't get 5 inches of rain.
Yeah, hopefully you won't have to have too much more vigor of those beans. A 5-inch rain would be tough on them, and they'll have to fight their way out of that crusty soils, huh? You got a nice big rotary hoe ready to go?
Not yet. That's a little preliminary still. So, they were calling for us to get an inch to 2 inches last night, and fortunately right in here where we're at, we had around 7 or 8 tenths about everywhere, and it came right, so we're pretty happy with where we're sitting now, but of course we're like everyone else, kind of sitting on pins and needles waiting to see what this weekend's weather ends up doing to us.
Northern Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska all still have a lot of corn to put in the ground. Things will slow down. The market probably won't pay very much attention to that yet, do you think?
Well, I think what the market's been kind of waiting on is just to see what this forecast would verify. We were rolling along pretty good there Tuesday and then start out okay on Wednesday. Then we come out and, we take a little bit of rain out of the longer-term forecast, and also hear that Trump was potentially going to put an executive order through, pull out a NAFTA, and then we come out last night and find out that that's not going to happen yet. But we didn't get back what we lost yesterday. And so I think if you end up with 4 and 5 inch rains over a broad span this weekend, you probably see a pretty exciting market on Sunday evening.
Well, that'll be interesting to watch. Any final notes for producers before I let you go?
Well, I just wish everyone good luck. I hope that myself as well as everyone else is able to escape the big rains this weekend.
All right. Thanks so much.
Yep. Thank you.
That, of course, Matt Bennett. He's with Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's a Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenora is here from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. We should get right to it, Mike. We had some rainfall come across the Midwest and the Corn Belt, I think the Southern Corn Belt, last night. Tell me where it landed, how much, and what we can expect next.
Most of that rain that fell yesterday occurred in a swath from the Delta through parts of Illinois and Wisconsin. That's where the core of heaviest rain occurred over the last 24 hours. As we go forward, we're going to see one of the strongest systems that we've seen in a long time move across the central U.S. More than likely, we're going to see widespread rainfall of 2 to 4 inches across a big chunk of the Corn Belt, with 1 to 3 inches surrounding that in portions of the central and southern plains, and also in the Delta.
probably the number one concern we have is that after seeing 1 to 2 inches of rain in parts of Illinois and the Delta last night, there could be a swath here of 4 to 6 inches of rain from Missouri into parts of Illinois over the next 5 days, lasting through about Monday. If all this comes to fruition as we expect, it will be unusually wet across a very large area by early next week.
That'll be making next week later very important, especially if there are third and fourth waves of rainfall that come through.
Well, on the plus side, even though we do have some waves that will move through the region next week, most of those will be moisture-starved, so we don't think there will be a lot of heavy rainfall next week, but we do need to caution that it will be cool. Temperatures, unlike what we've seen lately, will be much cooler than normal going forward. So we're going to have a showery pattern next week, but not heavy rain, and it will be a bit cool. The one caveat to this whole setup for next week regards what happens around Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We know that there will be a system of significance that will move through the Eastern Corn Belt and the Delta. The only question at this point is whether or not it will tap into some deeper humidity off to the south and then generate another round of significant rainfall. And by that, we mean 0.5 to 1.5 inches. At this point, we would say the chance for that is moderate. We would not put it at low and not put it at high, but that is probably the number one thing that people will be watching next week.
And do you have a forecast for the second full week of May?
Well, starting about May 7th and 8th, there will be some type of weather system out in the western U.S. There's a number of uncertainties with this system simply because it's so far out into the future. Now, there's a number of possibilities that could happen here, but the most likely one, unfortunately, is for that system to move on to the east. If it does that, as we expect, then we'll start to see rain redevelop in about 10 days from now, further to the west, this time centering more in the plains and into the western Corn Belt, then potentially expanding further to the east. So by the time you put all of this together, you're going to see a lot of rain, more than likely, as we go over the next 2 weeks. Now, there will be some planting next week, especially as you move to the west and north from Illinois, especially once you get into the Dakotas, assuming temperatures are okay. But again, that's kind of that area where the rainfall shows up first once we get into the May 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th time period.
Hey, thanks, Mike, so much for being with us today.
You're welcome, Todd. Talk to you next week.
Mm-hmm. Mike Tenora is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.